take a moment and ask a couple questions. What does anybody want to, what did you get out of this morning? What did you hear this morning? That's good, brother.
I like the subject of passion because it sometimes comes alive and you don't realize that it's there. It's a, whether it might be, you know, a particular subject in the Bible or even if it is guitar and I'm maybe teaching someone else that and the passion for it comes out and I don't think about the time or anything. And the same thing with the Lord. Sometimes you come alive between something that God is showing you, and then when you have the opportunity to share it, you are amazed at your own passion that comes out from within. So that's...
Surprise yourself.
Right, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think, aside from the passion, but also, as leaders, how we have to paint the picture of the future for everybody else to get a hold of so we know where we're going. So painting that picture, I think, was a big piece for me.
I think when you said that And this is also about how important it is to have passion. It's like a car without gas. When you gave that analogy, that really... put it all together for me, just how important it is to have it, that we need to have it. And the example that you gave of how God kind of woke you up to the importance of it with when you were arguing with God about that young man with the tattoos. So it really it left an impression. And I also appreciated the discussion about the culture in the church and how it changes really fast, and we got to keep up with that because, you know, our culture certainly could, if we're not willing to be flexible, we could chase a lot of people away.
Yeah, and the church is doing that a lot. Anybody else got anything you want to say?
What you were saying about the atmosphere being critical, that we have to be very careful of our thoughts and the words that we say, because we can kill it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I agree with everything that everyone has said, so without repeating that. But I think I appreciate you bringing to light, I think, that real point in time that the church is at, and I, not just the church, but I think the challenges of not thinking we're going to attract the world by being like the world, and the need for authenticity, and you know, that people are desperate for truth. We're in a culture that's trying to declare that there's no absolute truth, and so I think strengthening the church in all of those things, all of those points, but at the same time, you know, being steadfast in a way of knowing that that's what's life for people, and that's really what they need and what in fact they're searching for. I see that quite a bit. I think we all know that, but the authenticity and true passion is by nature authentic. but anyway, I just appreciate you bringing that to light and talking about it, particularly with people in leadership, because I think particularly in the world where we're social media and we see all these things, and I think there's always been a measure of that in life, but I think we live in a day where that is a particular challenge. And so I just thank you for bringing that to bear. I think it warrants reflecting on and strengthening each other and being really steadfast in knowing that these words are life to you. So anyway, I just appreciate you talking about that.
Thank you. Anybody else?
I like what you said. I think the longer you're a Christian, there are, like I recently shared after our fasting time, you forget some fundamentals, you forget some of the simpler things that you should have remembered from when you first became a Christian. And when you have a newbie that comes in, treating them with compassion, treating them with understanding, and like you said, until you get their heart, correcting them or trying to change them or trying to fix them is of no value. They want to be abused. They can go out there and be abused. They don't need to come here and be abused. So that was a fundamental thing that I think we lose after a while, that we have this intention of creating, you know, God's church to be a certain way, a cookie cut, you know, version of what we envision, and we forget to really have the compassion and the understanding for where people are at, right, you know, right out of the gate. And I'll even go even further, even older Christians, even some Christians that have been around for a while, you don't know what they're going through. You don't know where they're at. You don't know what God's bringing them through. And you know, thus by the grace of God, you know, I could be in that pot tomorrow, you know, and just having more compassion for each other. But you know, the newbie thing really struck home with me.
Amen. Yeah, it's there's definitely a paradigm shift that God's doing with all of us. And the church that we grew up with, you know, I grew up the church knowing that I was supposed to be in church Sunday mornings. It wasn't an option. I mean, that's the way most of us grew up. It's not that way anymore. So now you've got to have something that will, I use the word carefully, attract them. And mostly that comes from, which we've lost the art of this too. Remember the teaching many years ago on lifestyle evangelism? Did you ever get into that? I was teaching a long time ago, lifestyle evangelism. And what the body of Christ does is that we go to a point where we expect people to be evangelized. Okay, let's go out in the street and pass out tracts and, you know, and all that stuff. And that, I don't know if that really ever worked. You know, I just really don't. But most of the time, they didn't bring people to the church. You know, lifestyle evangelism is, you know, that you're excited about Christ and your life reveals that every day. Whoever you run into, you know, you're different. What is different about you? And boy, that is an open-ended question. It's an evangelical question. What's different about you? But I think it's important that every one of us live a life of Christ wherever we go. You hear in culture, don't mention Jesus, don't do this, don't do that. You know, I have not yet ever gone into a grocery store or gone somewhere and told someone that Jesus loves them where I get a bad reaction. People want it. We're just afraid to say it, you know. So, and older people can be passionate. You know, we might be a little different passionate. We might be, but I think as we melt the generations together, God intended the young and the old to live together and relate to each other. And that's what's happened in culture. You know, old people go here, young people go there, and sometimes you hang out in the middle. And there was a day that young people used to hang around grandpa and grandpa. You know, in fact, if you wanted to, you know, I remember in Rock Church in New Milford, Dad DeCarmo was with us for a while, and he was up there in years, and not particularly flashy, just a good, downright, loving man of God. And whenever you saw Dad DeCarmo, you saw kids, young people around him wanting to listen to him. So it's a mindset that we've got to get through. We cannot let culture continue to shape us. And that's the thing we have to be careful of. I understand that you know, we met with your elders in August. How's that plan coming along, by the way? Are we starting to bring that strategic plan? How many of you know about the strategic plan that the elders are working on? Are you familiar with it? Y'all familiar with it? Okay. it's extremely important that you crystallize that, and then plug the people of the congregation into it, because that going forward. But one of the things I do want to say, I mean, stammering over words, but you cannot let too much time pass. It's been 2 years now, I think, we've been working on this thing. Yeah, it's been over 2 years we've been working on it. One of the things that happens is, particularly with us that have been around for a while, is that we get excited about starting something. We tell people we're going to do it, and then time goes by and months go by, and all of a sudden they no longer think that we're doing it, we're talking about it. And I think as leaders, we have to be very careful to what we proclaim and what our lives look like. You know, if you tell the church you got something operation planned, they get excited about it. And then you talk about passion, enthusiasm, motivation. And then all of a sudden, months go by and nothing happens. And then we tell them again a year later, oh, we got this plan, we're going. Yeah, we've heard that before. What are we going to do about it? And that's something I want to encourage you. I've done it. I've gone up and shot my mouth off saying, oh, we're going to go do this, and didn't follow up as a pastor. And it cost me. It cost me, because one of the things that we need to do as a leader is we have to breathe and breed confidence. Not that you're anything special. We are special in God's eyes. But confidence in those that want to follow us. You know, mean what you say and say what you mean. And I remember John Maxwell put a thing out. He says, if you call yourself a leader and have no one following you, you're out for a walk. So it's just something to be interesting. What is a leader? A leader is a person who has life and actions and ideas and influence and direct others. So leadership is not an internal thing. Leadership is an internal, outgoing thing. And that's why a leader needs to be very careful not to be influenced and formed by external culture. And much of our leadership in a church today is either formed by psychology books or people of that persuasion, and I'm not being critical of anybody, please. The culture says you can't say something because you can't offend anybody. Well, you know, we have preachers now afraid to preach the gospel because they don't want to offend anybody. Okay, well, I'm sorry. I think one of Jesus' names was called the Rock of Offense. Okay? And so, you know, the word will offend. Not you, but the word will offend. Amen? Better word I like is convict. A leader is one who inspires and motivates action. With a can-do attitude, conviction, and victorious mindset. And I think as we as leaders, we tend, and we have to fight it because it's human nature, my goodness. We have to fight being motivated sometimes when you look around you and see your efforts. Work, 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 work. We have a young man, not a young man anymore, goodness gracious, but he is the head of our prayer ministry. And for years, it's been him and another guy, get before church services, and he just says, I just got to keep going, he has to motivate others after he motivates himself, because he's convicted that I'm ahead of prayer, and I need to be there at prayer, and so now, after all these years, finally he's seeing, he didn't give up, kept on pressing in, okay? He's leading and inspiring people to come and pray, and it's very, very important. I know you don't really have that challenge here because you've had a pretty solid prayer ministry in this church. But the prayer ministry also has got to, for people to pray continually with faith, there has to be stuff happen because of prayer, you know. One who or what leads or conducts, what one leads or conducts will guide and direct. First has to be yourself. If you're going to lead, must lead yourself. You must be a leader within inside of you. Leadership is, again, and you're going to hear me talk quite a bit about this, is not an external inward force. It is internal and outward. Okay? For years, we raised up and we used to have deacons. You know, when we were pastoring, we looked for deacons. I didn't make a deacon. I lay hands on recognized one who was deaconing. Okay, today's culture is make me a title or give me a title and then I'll do the ministry. Okay, and that doesn't work. It doesn't, because they're not motivated, not from the inside out, you know. And so these are some of the areas that I think we all have to work on. You know, a leader is one who leads and conducts and guides and directs people, but first you have to do it from the inside of you. You have to have, as a leader, an inbuilt guidance system of what's right and what's wrong, what's truth and what's not, for your own self. And as you go through, am I motivated today? Do I feel like going to church today? No, but I'm going. Has anybody not wanted to go to church and end up going? Okay. Because you're a leader on the inside. Okay, there were times when I was pastor when we'd go through stuff. You know, I used to have his armor bearer, George Frost. He just was a wonderful man. He still is, but he's in Florida now. And I would walk out of my office and turn around and walk back in. I said, I can't do this today. I'm just done, you know. And he said, all right, go back in the office. Let's pray, Pastor. You know, so we pray, and then, of course, you do your thing. But the thing is that leadership comes from the inside. Okay, you can't lead your own life. Would you please tell me how you're going to lead someone else's life? If you can't be disciplined enough as a leader to read the Word of God, then how can you expect someone else? Well, I don't have time. I'm going to say that a lot. You better have time if you're going to lead people, because people are expecting a godly person. And the problem with the church today and many leaders is that we have a lot of leadership. I have schools of them in my office, leadership books. Okay, and you read about principles of leadership, read about this and that, and I did it for years. I went out and applied the principles that were taught by Frank DiMaggio and John Maxwell, and all these leadership principles, and I would teach them to my leadership, and nothing happened. They just sat and listened to me and agreed with me, and it lasted for about 2 weeks, and then they look at you like, what are you saying? It's because I was giving them information affecting their thinking to do the right thing, because that's all we knew to do at that time. We have since learned differently, okay? But now, what God's doing is it's from the inside out. So now when I talk to a leader, if we can't get our hearts right with God, then you're not going to lead anything. And I encourage people, you don't have to be a spiritual giant. I didn't go to school. I didn't do this. Look at, God doesn't care what you have and haven't done. He cares about what you're willing to do and be in Him. And so we need to stop disqualifying ourselves to lead the people of God. A person in leadership is one who has authority. And I use that word sparingly. Authority is to motivate someone to move them, not to control them. All right, we've got that a little mixed up in today's culture. So that's kind of like a leader. A leader is a person whose life, actions, and ideas and influence directs others. You motivate people. That's what a leader does. And a leader is a single cell or a part of a leadership body or a leadership team. And so what we're talking about here is talking about leaders, but we also need to talk about what is leadership. Because leadership is not the lone ranger out there doing my thing. Leadership is the art of motivating a group of people to act toward and achieve a certain common goal or purpose or whatever it is. And so leadership, you as a group are here to motivate a group. And that's when you walk into a church service on Sunday, and leadership is, I'm going to set an example. I'm not going to tell someone how to worship. I'm going to show them how to worship. Okay? I'm going to be that living leadership example from the inside out. All right? And that's really, really important. And as a leader, you got to recognize that people are going to do things different than you, okay? I've been in a lot of churches, and there is a commonality of all worship services, but then there is a uniqueness within the family of that church that does something a little bit different, and you have to recognize that. There's been some churches I've been in, I said, oh, are you kidding me? Because you know, they thought what they were doing is the hottest thing since sliced bread, all right? But as a leader, all right, you keep that thought and give it to the Lord because that's your thought. As a leader, I'm not interested in disseminating my thoughts. I'm interested in disseminating God's thoughts and God's word and God's heart towards what's going on. You got to get out of the way. That's where Jesus said, he did not come to be served, but come to serve, okay? And so as a leader in leadership, we have to decide what kind of atmosphere do we want. And then as a group, leadership, you have to create that atmosphere, okay? Now you understand something, demons and devils and principalities, a individual person can cast out a demon. Do you understand with that? Okay? But it takes the body of Christ to take down a principality and a power. An individual is not going to do it. If you have a prince over this region, it's going to be the body in one accord, one heart, one mind. From the inside out, it's going to take that power down. Okay? If we try to do it ourselves, we're going to be the sons of Sceva all over again. Okay? So you have to recognize, as an individual leader or disciple, I can cast out a devil. But there are powers and principalities that only the group, the combined anointed group, the corporate group, with a corporate leadership can take down. Leadership captures the essentials of being able and prepared to inspire others. Again, I'm saying that because when we come to church on Sunday or we go to a church event, to inspire the people is why we're there. And so we must be uplifting. We must be faith-filled, going forth with the word. You get someone that's down, don't go down there with them. You got someone in the mud, okay, don't go down there in the mud with them. Reach down the mud and pull them up out of it, okay? Don't wallow in their mud because if you do, you can get it all over you, okay? And so it's very important that we understand that, okay? Motivating people is not getting down, understanding where they're at. Motivating people is understanding where they're at and pull them up out of their at according to the word of God and according to. And that's why we need to always be cognizant of the fact of what's going on with people. You said about elderly people, you know. Most young people do not understand what an elderly person goes through. Okay, your mind is still 40 years old, your body is X amount of years old, or whatever it is, okay? I actually still believe I can do things I did when I was 20, okay? Except when I start doing it, if I don't have my wholeness right in Christ, frustration sets in very easily. I know none of you have experienced any of that, right? Mark, Pastor Mark, he's 40 years old. He went out and he said to me the other day, he says, I realize I can't work out like I used to. Well, I can't play basketball like I used to because I'm getting old, 40. Help me, Jesus. Effective leadership is based on ideas rather than whether they're original or borrowed, okay? But won't happen unless those ideas can be communicated to others in a way that engages them enough to act as a leader wants them to act. What do I mean by that? One of the weakest forms or weakest links, I guess I'm looking for a word, in the church today is communication. You can have the greatest plans. You can have the greatest vision. You can have the greatest. If you can't communicate that and motivate people, then leadership is not leading. And so as we go forward, we must open the realms of communication. That's why I did that little exercise. I wanted to hear what you heard when we talk to people, because you could say something to someone and they hear entirely different. Mac, you haven't preached in 3 weeks without starting to realize that. You know, someone come back, you said this. I said, I didn't say that. Has that ever happened to anybody? You said this. I didn't say that. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. It's what you heard, but I didn't say that. Okay? And you as leaders got to be ready for that. All right? Communication is extremely important. Unless your vision and your plans are communicated in such a fashion that gets a hold of people's spirit, especially the newbies coming, okay? They don't understand vision. They don't understand plans. They reject plans. They don't understand authority. They reject authority. Okay? They're going to come to church and they want to do their thing. Gimme, 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 gimme. If you're not going to give me something, I'm not going to show up. What do you mean you want me to give? I ain't giving you any of my money. That's all out there. Okay? It's all out there. I'm going to come to church. I expect you to take care of me. That's what they are. Now, we can receive that and understand that part of our, as a leadership, communication skills would be, I hear you. I understand what you're saying. How about if we look at it at this angle and the benefit of it? I have nothing. I don't have any. I'm just live from paycheck to paycheck. Well, do you tithe? Well, that doesn't make any sense. I don't have any money. You want me to give money? And so we just get frustrated and walk away as a leadership. No. Why aren't you don't have anything? Because the Bible says what? You give. You must give in order. You know the word. Pressed down, shaken together. You must tithe. Okay, well, you just can't throw that principle as a leadership to the newbies coming here and expect them to understand it. And so now you have to figure out, okay, how do we communicate giving of oneself? Because the biggest thing we see, and today we talked to someone in a grocery store, and I'm just sharing with you because we got to catch this. In a grocery store, I talked to a person working there, and the lady was really frustrated. She said, all these kids come in here, all they want is a paycheck, and they don't do anything. They refuse to even stack the shelves. They just want their paycheck. And that sounds kind of corny, but I hear that all over the place. The younger generation thinks they are owed something because that is what they've been taught. Now, we can get bent out of shape on it. We can get attitude toward it. We can say, well, it's just not right. Or we as a group, because you know your demographics, you've done a whole demographic study here, right? I'm very proud of you on that. You know your demographics. And so, okay, we as a group, we as a body of leadership, what can we do? How can we communicate that? Now, I want to say something because I have a problem with this, and I'm going to confess that to you, okay? I think if I see something simple, I would like to make it complicated just so I can complicate it and give out the nuances of complication. Intellectual-wise, you know what I'm talking about. But you might have to back up and actually insult yourself and your intelligence to break something down as simple as that newbie can understand it. I mean, we don't do that. Because if I do that, then all my years' experience, I'm just not going to break Christianity down like that. I mean, that's milk. You got to start drinking milk. You got to eat some meat. Well, that's all cool, but the newbies don't even have any milk. And so what we have to do as leadership now is that we have to be willing to humble ourselves and say, how can we break this communication of the gospel? I didn't say change the gospel. How do we communicate the principles of the gospel in a language they understand without shedding off the truth? You got to preach the word. And so you as a leadership, with your demographics, you need to all sit down and figure out, what are we going to do? So I recommend that. Leadership is inspiration for a director of action. Leadership takes people somewhere. I've been around too many church leaderships where they're dynamic leadership, and they have dynamic leadership meetings and great principles, and that's where it stops. Nothing happens because of leadership. We just meet because we're leadership. well, what's the fruit of the leadership? What's happening? Where are we going? Are we growing? What are we doing? What are we producing? Oh, here's someone in the church. I don't produce anything. It's all God. Well, no, God put you on this earth to produce something. Sorry. I mean, that's just the way it is. We got to get this mentality that I'm waiting for God to do everything. I'm waiting for God to bring the people in. Well, if we haven't learned to take care of the people that we got, and he sends a newbie here and they last one service because I'm not staying around here, then we start to ask ourselves a question. And so as a leadership, you need to get together and communicate with them. How are we going to do this? And don't leave it. I'm going to say something to you because I had a dear sister share something with me a little while ago. And she said, we see a need in the church. And the need is growing. But it doesn't feel that they have the right to fix the need. Are you following what I'm saying? So what they do is they get frustrated because there's a need. Nobody else is fixing the need. And then the need continues to grow. Because we expect leadership or pastor or somebody to take care of that need, or, which has been the case more than not, is that someone will go take care of that need and end up leadership coming all over them. Who gave you the right to fix that problem or fix that need? You didn't check with me. No, just fix the need. Do you know what I'm saying? This is important because too many believers in the church are worried about being come down on because they want to do something good in the church. I look like I'm talking to blank faces. Do you know what I'm talking about? You're afraid to do anything because of the repercussions. I just put it out there. I'm trying to be diplomatic here, okay? So you see something that has to get done, and you wouldn't dare do it because one of the leaders will give you a cross eye. That's not you. Who are you? You and I'm not. What are you doing that for? I haven't authorized you to do that. No, but the need's been sitting here for X amount of time, and nobody's doing anything, and I can fix it. What would my response be? Fix it. Well, I'm going to upset people. Amen. Now, am I causing chaos within a church? No, you haven't. There's a flow. There's an honor. You know what I'm talking about. But we have too many stuff not being done because people are afraid to do it because of the reaction of people in the church. That is a reputation of a leadership. And it kills the church. It kills it. Okay, now, do you see something that you would like to get done? You go to the pastor and say, you know, I really like to do this. I'm all for that. I'm a pastor. I know what that is. You know, I'd like to be able to fix this, yada, yada, yada. Okay, but at least put a plan together and go say, look, I see this situation. I would like to do this. And if the pastor says no, then you start dialogue and communication. Not go around and do it. All right, why? This is a need. Why can't we do it? It will produce such and such and such. Why can't we do it? Am I causing a problem here, or are we all right? Okay. I got to sleep in this house tonight. We better be all right. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Does anybody got a problem with what I'm saying? Because I'm meddling now, okay? I'm meddling. Do you have something, bro? Are you okay? Okay. And so I just want to encourage you as a leadership. As a leader, you're an individual, and you lead to lead. But as a leadership, you're a team. And a team can't be against each other. You understand what I'm saying? Okay? If one of your team members gets you upset, all right? And this is what happens all over the church. Trust me, I've been in this thing for 45 years. You cannot have a leadership team and have aught against each other. Can't do it. It destroys the team. Do you all following me? Okay, so we have a leadership team, and I don't like Sister Susie Q, or I don't like Mr. Butterfield, I don't like the way they do it. I don't like their personality. I don't like this and I don't like that. Okay, that's cool. But you're attached to that person. Bone upon bone. You hearing me? Joint upon joint. You're attached to that person. If you don't like that person, you're attached to something you don't like. Well, I don't have to pay attention. No, you can't. Because you're a body. You cannot divorce yourself from your elbow. You can't divorce yourself. My knee's been bothering me because I work out too much. I can't divorce my knees from me and come up here and preach. I can't do it. And so, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit, but